Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I will not let you go. Who said that? Jesus said that. We've been asking these questions. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Joe introduced us last week, and I've added in because I like it. Who are we going to? How am I doing it? And the question I want us to think about this morning is, what is God doing in all of this? If I'm asking the question, what are we doing? What am I doing with my life? And my answer is, I'm making disciples, because isn't that what Jesus is telling me to do there? You with me? We don't need to argue it, right? We can argue about maybe what it looks like or my part, but it's pretty clear what Jesus is saying. What are we doing? Making disciples. Why are we doing it? This love letter called the Bible is challenging us to do it because Jesus wants disciples. From page one to the last page of God's Word is a love story that depicts Jesus as the main character. Old Testament, New Testament points us to this Jesus Christ, this carpenter from Nazareth, the Messiah he claimed to be, the anointed one sent by the Father. And he came and he lived and he died and he was buried and he rose from the dead because he wants people to know him, to love him, to trust him, to follow him as disciples. So why do we do this? Why am I here this morning? Why are we doing what we're doing with the kids and loving them and serving them and teaching them? Why do we do what we do? My prayer is that, and my heart is that our answer would be because that's what Jesus wants. He wants disciples. Joe challenged us. We need to ask, who are we going to? Because didn't Jesus say, go to make disciples of all nations, everyone? Right, Joe? Across the world, but also across the street. How about across the political divide? Isn't there a center aisle in our Congress? An aisle, they call it, right? And on one side sits one, and on you ever watched British Parliament? How they do that thing down the middle, and they sit on the opposite sides, and they all, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, to a point. What about across the aisle? What about across the street? Who are we going to? And then we have to get personal, or none of this matters unless I get personal and say, how am I doing it? And I look out and I see a mom talking to her little boy. And so I think, mom, how am I doing it? How am I doing that? I see my wife who works in a hospital she's an oncology pediatric nurse. So that means she's with kids and their parents, kids that are suffering through leukemia or cancer or other things that many times there's no answer to it. And so how is she doing it in that setting? And then I come to work and I work with Matt and Jeff and I think, how am I doing it? Oh. Yeah. How am I doing this? How am I engaging this disciple-making process? So we've looked at engage, empower, equip, and this morning is encourage. That phrase, I'm with you always. So the question that is in my head is, what is God doing? If the answer to what we're doing is making disciples, and if we say, why? Because Jesus wants it. And then I say, well, who are we going to? Who's he placed in my life? And then I say, how am I doing it? This sounds like a lifetime. This sounds like a calling on my life. For as long as he gives me breath, my life should be about this. This is big. This is significant. This is weighty. Can I just be honest? This is hard. This is hard. So what is God doing in all this? He says, I'll be with you. That, I think, summarizes it. But I think it's important, I know it's important, that if we're in this process and we've engaged this, that we are regularly going to God's Word and we're asking that question. And I'm here to tell you, I believe this with all of my heart, God welcomes this question when his children come to him. And even when it's in pain or it's in confusion or hurt, and we come to him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You told me to go make disciples of all nations. And I'm doing that, and I stumble sometimes and I struggle, but I'm doing it. What are you doing? You said you'll be with me, and I hold on to that. Well, what does that mean? And we need to be going to God's Word. coming on a Sunday morning or coming to an e-group, you get one or two touch points a week. That is awesome. We need to be coming together. But that's not going to be enough for you to stay engaged in the discipleship process. You have to be going to God's Word and asking that question. God, what are you doing? Where are you in this? You ever feel alone? I do. You ever feel like a failure? I do. You ever feel discouraged? You ever feel angry? God, what are you doing? Right? God, what are you doing? Good. Let's be honest. We need to be coming to God's Word, and that's what I want to do this morning. I want to come to one passage in the time that we have, and I believe this is woven throughout Scripture, all the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. If you come to these pages and you just ask this question, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You've made it clear what you want us to be doing. Remind me again of what it is that you're doing. Because I'll just tell you flat out, I can't do this on my own. I can't do it without you, the people that he's put in my life. We need each other. But ultimately, we cannot do this without him. If we're not on the same page with him, if we're not in alignment with him, when he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, what is he telling us? I want to look at Romans 15. And so if you have your Bible, we're going to just look at a few verses this morning in Romans 15, verses 1 through 6. But let me read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll look at 5 and 6. Paul has just come off of this long part of Romans where he's been very practical, and he's been talking about how we need to treat each other and how we need to think about how our actions impact each other, the things that we do and we don't do. And in chapter 15, and remember, the chapters and the verses are for our benefit. Paul did not stop in the middle of his letter and go, chapter 15, verse 1. You know, he didn't do that. He's writing a letter. That's for us so that I can say, okay, I want you to open your Bible and find, okay, there's a part where he starts to, look for the word obligation. It's maybe two-thirds through the book. You with me? About the fourth century, people said, you know what, we need to put numbers in here so we can all be on the same page. So for us, it's chapter 15. It's in the middle of this letter. It's a continuation of what he's writing about in chapter 14, which you're free, even now, just to take a moment, go back and kind of look at that. But in chapter 15, verse 1, he says, now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Each one of us must please his neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Just look to your left, look to your right. Go ahead, do it. Say, wow, I got a big piece of property on my right. No neighbor, but look to, you know, this is my neighbor. Who is your neighbor? It's the people that he's placed in our lives. And remember, he's writing to a local church. Ultimately, it's intended for the church, but he's writing to a church. And so when he says your neighbor, it literally is the person sitting on either side of you. Each one of us must please. Now look at that person to your left and your right again. You're supposed to please them. I'm out of here. No. Who is my neighbor? Please your neighbor. Each one of us must please his neighbor. You can study that Greek word. It means to please. It's very, very clear. Please his neighbor for his or her good. To build him up. To build him up. The word build means to promote the growth of another. We do this as parents all the time, right? Eat that. I don't like that. Eat it because it's going to make you healthy, strong. Do that. I don't want to do that. I want to keep doing this. No, get up and go ride your bike. I don't want it. Why do we even pick those fights? Because we know, right, that it's for their good. Stop doing that. Don't touch that. Don't run over there. Build them up. Each one of us must please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even the Messiah, Jesus, did not please himself. He did not live his life to please himself. On the contrary, as it is written, and he quotes from Psalm 69, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. A description of Jesus' life when he took on human flesh. For whatever was written in the past, and he's just quoted from the past, hasn't he, from Psalm 69, for whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction so that we may have hope. Would you say that word out loud with me? Ready? Hope. Say it again. Hope. Is that a good word? Is that critical to our existence? Do you realize what happens when hope is gone? It was written in the past, written for our instruction, to teach us so that we may have hope through endurance. Do you like that word? I used to like it when I was in my 20s. I don't like it so much anymore. Yeah, you either? How old are you? 30s? 20s? You're in your 20s? Okay. Yeah, just wait. Just wait. It becomes even worse. Have hope through endurance, that you will have hope as you endure. And through the encouragement from the Scriptures. What is God doing? Well, let me suggest this. And I just have two thoughts, and two primary thoughts that I want us to capture. And the first one is this. He's made us responsible for one another. Now, you read Romans 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, and you'll find you won't like it all, because there's a lot of responsibility there for others. He's writing to a local church, and he's saying, the way it looks to make disciples, the way it looks to follow Jesus, the way it looks to imitate Jesus and follow his example is you are responsible. Now, I want you to look to your left and right again. Real quick, just look to your left. Some of you are closing your eyes. That's not a good sign. That's who we're responsible for. He's made us responsible for those. Do you hear that here? We who are strong. Literally, it's those who are growing. Those who know who Christ is and he's been working in our life, we have an obligation. Literally, we owe a debt. What he's saying is, because of what Jesus has done for me, I owe him a debt to love you and you. Remember when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Do you remember what he said? Love God, and then love who? Your neighbor. Look to the left, look to the right. You're going to get whiplash this morning. Go ahead, I'm serious. I'll give you a second. Do you realize God gave you an obligation to love those people? Make sure you look up here too. To love those people. What is God doing? He's created this flawed, imperfect, because we're all flawed and imperfect, this gathering, this fellowship, this family, and you come into it through faith in Christ, and then he says, now you have an obligation to those in your family. That's what he's doing. That's what he's provided for us. How do I do that? Well, according to these verses, a couple thoughts. One is I carry the burdens of others. Did you see that there? We carry the burdens of others. Bear. We have an obligation to bear. Now, some of you are thinking, bear. Not that bear. Some of you are thinking, oh, it's cold without clothes on. Not that kind of bear. Bear means to pick up and carry. You have an obligation. I have an obligation to come alongside others in my family, the church family, and take up something to carry it for them. Does life feel sometimes like it's just too much to carry? Do you feel like your arms are just too full? And that's when someone comes up and goes, hey, you got a light? Remember that, Joe? You know, hey, can you open the door for me? Can you do it? And you're like, no. And you scream, and people are like, whoa, what's wrong? Because your arm, they don't even know, but your arms are already so full of what you're carrying, and they just come up and say, hey, can you do this for me? It happens in marriage, right? Yeah. And the woman, the man that we love just says, why do you do this to me? And you're like, whoa, what happened? Does that sound like I'm talking from a specific moment in my life? No. And your arms are full. Doesn't life feel that way sometimes? He says, the obligation that I have, the debt that I've put on you in the family of God is that you come alongside of each other. And first you say, hey, are your arms full? Because we won't always tell each other, right? So we ask that question, and then you say, hey, can I carry part of that for you? So, well, my arms are full too. I know. But do you picture what this looks like when we're all doing this? We're no longer alone. We're no longer alone. We carry one another's burdens. Number two, he says, I want you to give to others what God has given you. You say, well, I don't know what to do. You just share what God has given you. I love these verses that Paul wrote, this verse in 2 Corinthians 1. He comforts us in our own affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves received from God. Now, come on, that should be an amen. That's a beautiful picture, right? When God allows me or even leads me through a painful time, a time of big arms full, or arms full of big things, and I come through that, and maybe other people come and bear it and carry it with me, and I come through it, and I go, wow, I know how to deal with that. I know from experience. God gave me this, and God reminded me of that, and God held me up here, and God did this. And then I see a brother going through the same thing. What am I obligated to do? According to 1 Corinthians, I'm to go to that brother and say, hey, can I help carry that? I say, well, how do you manage this? Well, let me tell you what God taught me. I'm telling you, I didn't know what I was doing. And God helped me. Now let me help you. Does that make sense? We have an obligation to carry one another's burdens. How do we do this? We give to others what God has given us. We are never in a good place. We're never validated when we say, I don't know what to do. That's what 1 Corinthians is saying. You can never use that excuse and say, I can't do anything for somebody else because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm not sure how to approach this. God says, all I want you to do is give away what I've given you. You say, well, all I know is this. Then good. Come alongside that person and do that. And then thirdly, how do we do this? We look to Jesus and those who follow him. We look to Jesus and those who follow him. Whatever was written in the past, that's primarily about this group of people called the Israelites. But there's others before Israel was even formed, even became a nation, right? There was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, right? There was Noah. There was Adam and Eve. I could go on, right? These things were written for our benefit. Look to them. Now, here's the broken record. Go back to the scriptures. I'm telling you, you've got to be in God's word. So all these stories, yes, read those stories because those are real people that walked through real situations with God, and God had them recorded for our instruction. Did you see that? They were written in the past. They were written for my instruction. There's many more days than not that I get up and I look at my calendar and I think, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. I look at my calendar and I'm meeting here or I'm doing this or I'm studying for that or I'm, you know, thinking about this and I don't know what I'm doing. How do I find what I need to do, what God has put on my plate? According to Paul, he says you go to the scriptures and you realize as you read them that they were written for our instruction and they were written so that we would have hope through endurance and encouragement from the scriptures. You with me? How many can say you've read the Word of God at any point in your life with God and came away encouraged? I was hoping for more, but I'll take that. Okay, see if you're paying attention. How many of you have read the pages of Scripture and said, that's me? Come on now, Peter. You know, hopefully not Judas. We don't want any Judas, identify with Judas. But you read it, you go, that's me. Oh, he says it's written for our encouragement. But it's written for our endurance, too, to give us hope. Because the reality, this whole disciple-making thing is going to be tough. And it's not a dash. I couldn't think of the word for a short run. What is it? Sprint. Thank you. Why, thank you. I can hear you now. Thanks. Nobody got that. Okay, thank you. Make me feel good. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a long haul. It's hard work. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough. You're going to need endurance. And you're going to need encouragement, and you're going to need to hold on to hope. So, God, what are you doing? I've put you together in a group of people, and I want you to be responsible for each other. And I want you to look at the scriptures. I want you to feed on them, and I want you to look to Jesus and those who follow him. We're told about Jesus in these verses, right? Even the Messiah did not come and live for himself. He came to please other people. Look at verses 5 and 6. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement. You get that? Didn't he just say we go to the scriptures and we find endurance and we find encouragement? Same two words for the hope that we need. And then he says, now to the God who gives endurance. So let me pause and just say this. Who is it that gave us the word of God? It's not a trick question. What? Okay, nobody sounds confident. Who gave us the scriptures? Who?
God.
Thank you. A confident young man. You get the significance of that? When I read this, I'm not reading, you know, a novel. I'm not reading fiction, nonfiction. I'm not reading a self-help. I'm not reading a book that's maybe going to help me in my work or my job or just kind of for joy and pleasure. I'm reading a book that was provided, preserved, and presented to me by God himself. Because he is the God who gives endurance and encouragement. And if you are not intentionally spending time in God's word, 2019 is going to be a really challenging and difficult. It's going to be challenging and difficult anyways. It's going to be a year, I'll just say this, I believe this. If you're not in God's word and you're not feeding on this for endurance and encouragement, 2019 is going to be a year of failure for you. It's going to be a year of failure in your relationships and in your vocation. And everything that you set out to do, you're going to find that nothing is satisfying you. And you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. You're going to be, you and I, if I'm in this category, instead of endurance, the opposite is to quit. And instead of encouragement, we're going to be discouraged. And the ultimate end game of that is that we have no hope. You and I are surrounded by people that are going through the motions of their daily life. And that's all they're doing because they have no hope. And so what they do, and maybe some of us in this room, we get up and we just take the next step. We get up and do it again. We have this routine. We have this schedule. And if we didn't have that, we probably wouldn't do anything. And you become almost this spiritual zombie that's just kind of going through, hey, how's it going? Yeah. And even coming to church. Even coming to church on, how you, I'm good, how are you, Pam? Good, right? We got it down, right? If we're not feeding on God's word, if you are not intentionally, not just Sunday and sometime during the week or in the other service in an e-group, you got these couple of touch points and say, it's really good and I'm being fed. That's great. You need that. I need that. But if we're not feeding on his word throughout the week, every day, we are not going to have the endurance and the encouragement that God has provided. So when you call out to God and I call out to God and say, what are you doing? Life's hard right now. I'm trying to do this disciple thing. I really want to make disciples for you, but it's hard. What are you doing? He says, I gave you my word. I understand endurance. I understand encouragement. Jesus says, I came and lived among you. I know what it looks like. I know how hard it is. I had it all recorded and preserved for you so that you could come to it and you could find instruction and you could find what you need for endurance and encouragement. So that you could, in fact, be people of hope, a voice of hope. So here's the other, let me finish the verse. The God, because I didn't finish reading, and I apologize. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony. Did you hear that? How many need more harmony and peace in their life? Man, I'm so tired of the politics. I don't care. It's not even about sides. I'm just tired of division. It wears on me. Anybody else? It's just everywhere you turn. I made the mistake of watching the news last night, and there's a video of road rage, and a guy gets out, and you know, it's like because somebody cut him off or pulled him in front of him or did something, and he gets out, and he just, yeah. Do we need harmony? Does the world need harmony? Does the church need harmony? Does the world need to see the church living in harmony? Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. Because he says, the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony with one another. According to the command of Christ Jesus. This is his desire, his will, his plan, his command for us. So that, here's the outcome, here's what's at stake. So that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a, what? United mind and voice. A united mind and voice. Are we going to be different? Yes. Is different good? It really is. Diversity is good. Different is good. But division is not. And we need to be eclectic, weird, strange. That's all good. Different many ways, but we need to be united in how we think and what we say. Who do I believe? What does my mind tell me the truth is? And who is the truth? And how do I experience the truth and live it out? And then my voice needs to be saying that. Our voices need to be saying the same gospel message of grace and love through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Is that a popular way to talk? Excuse me. Is that going to be well received by everybody, that there's only one way to know God? No, it's not. That's what we need to be united around, how we think and how we speak. So here's the second thought as I wrap up. He has made us responsible to make him known. He's made us responsible for each other, to care for each other, but this is what God is doing. He has also made us responsible to make him known. And the reality is this, and I won't read it, but I'm going to give you these verses to write down because of time. John 17, some of you know this well, verses 20 to 23. Jesus makes it clear that it's our unity that will make Jesus and his message real to the world. He says it like this: this is how the world will know that you, Father, sent me, Jesus, if they're united. Our unity makes Jesus real to the world. And here's the final thought. Our unity is the key to being encouraged. The reason our world, our society is so discouraged, so angry, so violent even right now is because we are divided. And I can't fix the world. We can't fix the world. That's going to play out. But what we are responsible for and what we can do is what this group of people are characterized by. Are we united or are we divided? I believe that our unity is the key to staying encouraged, that we are of one mind and one voice. What are we doing? And I'm going to invite Andy and Cindy, Dan and Jan, if you would prepare. I don't know what mics, but if you guys want to come up. And as they're coming up, would you just one more time with me go through these questions? What are we doing in 2019? Answer that in your heart. Because we need to be united in thinking and in voice. Why are we doing it in 2019? Joe, who are we going to in 2019? How am I doing it in 2019? And church, be encouraged. Because the last question is, what is God doing in 2000 each other? And he continues to make us responsible to take his message to our world. Are we of one mind? No, apparently we're not. Are we of one mind? Are we unified around that? And are we committed to being unified in the message that we speak and that we live? If we are, we will be encouraged in 2019. No matter what happens around us and in our world, it'll be devastating at points, it'll be challenging, it'll be difficult. But we will stay encouraged. And I dare say, are you listening? I don't think you're listening. Are you listening? We will be people of hope. We will be a voice of hope. So we've been hearing from different teams and their dreams and what they're excited about for 2019. So this is the leadership of our prayer team. Did you know we have a prayer team? Good. I'm glad you do. We need to get the word out. Tell us about 2019 and why we're encouraged about what God is doing in and through our prayer team. And don't fight over who gets to speak first.
I'm going to hand it over to Jan. First, we just want to share some scripture with you. Yes, please. Lord God of Israel, there is no heaven above or on earth below like you. There is no one like you. To keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. That's in 1 Kings 8:23. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 15:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Matthew 6:9-13. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5, 16.
And there's more.
Can you hold that for me?
Yes.
Psalm 141:2 says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Psalm 116:2, because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And Jeremiah 29:11-12, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. These are God's words, living and breathing, and this is just a small glimpse of what he has to say in his word about prayer.
And in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, it says, and if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him, but a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And that's the name of our prayer team, is a cord of three strands. Our vision for 2019 really is based on our church becoming and living out prayer with each other. Our team consists of, I think, 10 or 12 people that are in our group here. We get up every Sunday morning and we pray over the worship team. We pray over the pastoral team. We stand up on the sides every Sunday morning in both services and are willing to pray with anybody that needs prayer. One of our goals is for everybody to understand that prayer isn't something that just this team can do. That prayer is something, it's just talking to God, and God wants to hear you. There's no special words. It is very comforting. Cursed Message is perfect because we're supposed to look to the right and to the left and come along each other and hold each other and pray for each other and lift each other up in prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to see our church become, a church that just truly believes in prayer in 2019.
Amen.
Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I just want to add that we have put prayer boxes in the auditorium. Well, we have one prayer box in the auditorium on the table in the back. So, you know, if you don't come to the side to pray with us, that we want your prayer requests in there. You fill out one of the connection cards and put it in there, and it'll get to us in the office. We've also put one over in the treehouse room because every once in a while we get prayer cards in the office from some of the kids, and we love that. Mm. And so we want to encourage our kids to become little prayer warriors too. And so we have a box there and a box here that we'll be collecting. And those go to the prayer team. We email it out, and we CC the pastors on it so that, you know, you have prayer coverage over that. So anyway, did you have anything to add?
My favorite verse is Psalms 25, because it deals with trust. And it all starts with trust. And it's important not to violate that trust. So he said, never leave nor forsake you. And you have to trust in that. And whenever approaching, at least me, approach on the right side. I'm deaf on this side. But as Jan said, you know what? God gave me two. So I'm going to the alternative. Thank you.
One last thing. I want you guys to know that once a month, the leadership of this church, the elders and deacons, come together, and we spend an hour in prayer, and we pray for this body and for each other on a regular basis. So, thank you.
Amen. Do you need more help with the prayer team?
We can always use more.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to join the prayer team, they could come to you and you could explain to them how to what that commitment looks like.
Yep.
And the final thought, Don, you want to come up because Don's going to share too. Thank you, guys. Is the website still have the prayer?
Yes.
So
On the communication cards and on the middle sign over here on the wall, go out to the world and it lists different ways you can do this. You can go onto the website. We have somebody that manages it on our team that sends out all these prayer requests. Yeah. So
good. Amen. Thank you. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. We have a team of elders. We call them elders. The Bible uses a couple different words. Elders, shepherds, pastors, those who are responsible for the spiritual shepherding of a local church on behalf of the great shepherd. So we're really under shepherds. And I want you to hear from Don. He's the chairman of our elder team, these shepherds, and why he's excited about 2019. And he's looking at the clock because that's his job, and he realizes that he's out of time. So, but please.
I'll go ahead and invite the worship team if you guys want to start getting ready. And while I'm talking, that will be fine. So interestingly enough, about 11 years ago, right around this week, we were presenting to the church body Pastor Kurt as a candidate for our senior pastor position, which was open at that time. It was January of 2008. And the whole month of January, we probably spent maybe 20 hours, the elder team, talking with Pastor Kurt, and he shared his vision about what he wants this church to be, and if he was put into that position, what his expectations were of us as a leadership team, and a direction for our church family. And really, so what am I looking forward to in 2019 is similar to what we were looking forward to in 2008, 2009, 2010, blah, 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 onward and onward, which is his vision and the vision that I caught from it, and I still remember 11 years later, as he was passionate about raising up new leaders. And that was his passion. And he wanted a church of people becoming leaders. And you say, well, wait a sec. I have no interest in joining the leadership team of Crossroads. I don't want to become that. I don't feel called to that position or whatever. But leadership is more than just being leaders in the church or leadership in a ministry. We need leaders in our homes. We need leaders in our schools. We need leaders in our places of business. And I'm not talking about bosses or managers. I'm talking about people who are passionate and unafraid to stand up and be the people that God is calling them to be wherever God has put them. God has put you into people's lives that I will never have the opportunity to reach, and vice versa. And what I'm looking forward to in 2019 is another opportunity for us to help you become better leaders. See, as leaderships, one of the frustrating things for us is we can't force you to become stronger in your relationship to God. All we really can do is provide opportunity after opportunity for you to be engaged with our community, with you to feel empowered in your relationship with God, to feel equipped to serve your life for God through all kinds of ministry, and ultimately to be encouraged during that walk so that you guys can be the most effective person that God has allowed you to be. And so in 2019, we as church leaders are all about providing opportunities for you to grow in those four areas. We have opportunities to serve, to experience e-groups. There's a whole bunch of e-groups starting. What are those e-groups all about? They're opportunities to be encouraged. They're opportunities to become equipped and better equipped to serve. We have Easter coming up, and it's like, oh, Easter's every year. Well, Easter is an opportunity for you to find someone in your life that needs to know the truth about Jesus Christ, and you have the opportunity to bring them and let them experience for themselves in a safe environment, because everybody expects, you know, people, even with our society where it is today, it's okay to go to church on Easter, you know? You don't want to go to church too often, because otherwise you're a fanatic. But if you go on Easter, you go on Christmas, that's okay. You can get away with that. So we have an opportunity. Bring some people that would otherwise never step through that church door. And Easter is an opportunity. Christmas is an opportunity. We are going to have opportunities to serve the community. Our annual Freedom Celebration is an opportunity. We have mentoring opportunities, and I'm pointing at Pastor Matt. Tutoring, thank you. That was the word I was looking for. We have tutoring opportunities where we can reach to the community and help them and show them the love of God through those opportunities. We have opportunities to engage and encourage. So what I'm looking for in 2019 is for you to find the opportunity that God wants you to have to grow deeper. And I don't know what that is. You'll have to listen to God and have him talk to you through that. But we are going to be providing the opportunities, but they don't mean nothing unless the church family is taking advantage of those opportunities. So 2019 is going to be a great year for our Crossroads family, and it's all going to start with you guys.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. Thank you, prayer team. Are you guys encouraged?
I hope so.
Awesome. Let's stand together and let's worship this morning.